Welcome, everybody, and you are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen, as you always are here on Tuesdays at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. As always, I have a fabulous guest joining me today in the studio virtually, and we're going to be talking about one of the most interesting subjects to me, and that's surviving death. Also, my special guest, Mike Anthony, was featured on the Netflix special documentary you may have seen, Surviving Death, and also, as was his book and his story. We'll be talking to him about his book and his journey and getting lots of great information that is really, truly positive. And so here's the book. It's called Love, Dad. I always try to fight that glare. And there he is, Mike Anthony. Thank you so much for joining us here on the couch.
Hello, Dr. Cohen. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. And thank you for writing this book. I really enjoyed reading it. Really gave us a lot of hope. And
I'm glad.
And we're going to be excited today, I know, to find out more about your journey and why you actually wrote this. I really liked your segment also in the Surviving Death Netflix show. That was really cool. Really. Yeah,
that's a great series. That sort of, you know, it just scratches the surface of the stuff that's out there, but it's a great beginning.
God, it really is. You know, and some people are going, a little bit more scientific information going on in there as well, which I enjoyed. And, you know, if you're a regular listener, I talk about this subject quite a bit off and on because I am a quantum conscious student. So I'm always studying about, you know, what's going on out there, you know, in consciousness when it comes to quantum information. And, you know, to millions of people, the belief in some form of afterlife, you know, gives us some kind of solace. You know, it makes us feel better and just really comforts us as well. It's been around forever. But as I mentioned, there's more and more evidence in, you know, quantum conscious studies about the phenomenon really happening. And it's really interesting that, you know, when we read about books of other authors who I've, you know, featured about near-death experiences, you know, Evan Alexander, some of the famous people, and Dolores Cannon, who takes people back in time and also has them talk about previous lives. And I mean, just too much information coming through that, you know, they can't make this stuff up.
I've recently started reading a lot of Dolores Cannon's work. And yeah, there's a lot to unpack.
Yes, there is. That's so cool that you're reading that now, too. I was binging on her for quite a while there. Let me introduce you formally here, Mike Anthony. He's been a professional actor and a non-professional bartender, as they call you. But it puts you in the coolest places as well, right?
It does, yes. Yeah. I put the non-professional part in there just so expectations aren't too high.
Well, and, you know, you were lucky enough, I understand, to you know, experience from an up-close perspective the ride that Hamilton, the fabulous musical, an American musical, took as it rocketed into Broadway history. By the way, you wrote another book. This was your first book. It was called Life, right? And that chronicled your extraordinary time there when you were, you know, working in theater and things like that. But just to sort of roll this out here, your journey took an unexpected turn when, unfortunately, I'm so sorry, your dad passed, and it led you down a remarkable path of discovery. And, of course, now, as you saw in the Netflix special, he takes a lot of time exploring evidence which suggestive of the survival of the consciousness from the eyes of physical body. And again, this is called Love, Dad, How My Father Died, Then He Told Me He Didn't. Great book, great read, fascinating story. And I really appreciate you sharing it with us again, Mike. So besides the obvious, what was it that really propelled you to say, I've got to write about this?
Well, the events that unfolded completely changed my life. And by the end, something so extraordinary happened that it just felt unfair to not share this with people. It's such profoundly important information. I mean, it's perhaps the most profound question facing a human being. What happens after we die? So the events were just so extraordinary that it actually felt like unfair to not share the word.
Sure. And unfair, that's right. It's when we store it over and over, you know, really giving us information that, then we doubt ourselves, right? We hear little things, or we find out information through mediums that you were exploring and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it took a lot for me to come around to the conclusion that this stuff is real. I mean, I'm, you know, skeptical by nature, simply meaning that I'm open-minded, but I require evidence before I accept something. Sure, but if the evidence is there, I take it in and accept it.
Exactly.
And that's not always the case, I have now found, especially if we're talking about sort of mainstream scientists. There's a bit of a wall there. There's quite a stigma still. If you're a mainstream scientist, say, teaching at a university here in America, chances are you're not teaching a class about the evidence out there suggestive of survival death. Right. Quantum consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fascinating subject. But if the mainstream, as I'm sure your listeners know, the mainstream materialist scientific paradigm, before I became an actor, I was going to be a science teacher. That's what I had gone to college for initially.
Right? Great.
So I've always loved science, you know.
Yes.
And the mainstream scientific paradigm that mm-hmm. believes everything is material, made out of atoms, says that there consciousness is simply an illusion created by the brain, and that when the brain stops receiving oxygen, that's the end of that.
Right.
So, though, to someone like you and your listeners, and now me, it's quite obvious that consciousness has a reality, a definite, tangible reality that is separate from the brain, that is perhaps not created by the brain, but lives as a fundamental aspect of whatever this universe is, in a settled idea.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I agree with you, Mike. You know, you're learning and you're a scholar, and you also, like I said, we're going to be a science teacher, which is really cool. And then all of a sudden it's like, science. Well, let's maybe not do that. And let's do the other way and see how that goes. But so you were very close with your dad.
Yeah,
I understand. Just to kind of roll out the beginning of the story here, and your whole family adored him.
Yeah.
Can you share with us the story of how you found out about your dad's passing and sort of how that led into your story?
Yeah. We were incredibly close. My dad was an amazing man. Just he had a level of love that emanated from this guy. You could not be in the same room with him without feeling better. And it didn't matter if he wasn't speaking. It was what just kind of seeped out of this man was this love. So he was 60 years old and a very young 60.
You know,
we thought he was in great shape from all outward appearances. And we thought if anyone in my family was going to make it to 100, it was going to be him.
It was going to be
out of the blue, a complete and utter shock, he suddenly died. I was at a we were watching Monday Night Football together, my dad and I, one night, had a great spirited conversation about politics, which we often did. And then he left the house and drove around the corner. We were at my mom's house. They had been divorced for many, many years, but stayed close. So he lived right around the corner, drove the 5 minutes home, walked inside his house and died. You know, he still had his keys in his hand. That's how we know it was something extraordinarily fast.
God.
And we did not find out, but he lived alone. So we didn't find out until the next day. He didn't show up for work.
Aww.
And a coworker.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And a coworker knew that that was something he would never, ever do. Not show up and not call. When no one answered, she called the police. So was at work bartending on Broadway.
All right.
And intermission was just about to happen. And my sister called, and, you know, she was wailing on the phone.
Aww.
And I say in the book that the word wail, I had read many times in in Greek tragedies, but did not know what that word meant until I heard those sounds coming out of my sister. And, you know, she said, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. And I hung up the phone, and now intermission happens. And you know how intermission is on Broadway. Yes. Suddenly you've got 1,000
everybody.
People.
Right.
Everybody. it was a comedy that I was working at that time.
Oh my gosh.
So everyone's in great spirits. And I was just in what I now realize was complete shock. I have this very clear memory of talking to this woman. I'm making her like rum and coke, saying, how's the show? You and show?
You've got cognitive dissonance going on. Like, I can't.
Completely.
Oh my gosh, honey.
So that was how I found out. Yeah.
Yeah. So then after that, you started investigating. What was it that spurred your interest into investigating the possibility of life after death? And of course, you wanted to get in touch with your dad always and say, oh, this is not happening. I want to connect with you still. We didn't have closure and all that.
So. Yeah, yeah. The way that it happened was initially through mediumship, which of course is the idea that there are people walking around on the planet who have the ability to somehow connect in some way with people who are no longer in bodies. Now, I was familiar with mediumship from John Edward and Crossing Over, show when I was in high school. That was pretty popular. But, you know, given my interest in science, though I found the show intriguing, I was fascinated watching it, I honestly was thinking, well, there can't be too much actually to this, because if there were real evidence out there that some people have that ability, surely one of my biology professors would have taught me about it. Surely in one of my science classes, after teaching us about, you know, cell division and mitosis, they would have said, oh, and also, you know,
by the way,
yes, some people have this ability.
Yeah.
And since I'd never heard that in any classroom, I assumed there couldn't be a whole lot concrete behind what John Edward was doing. But mediumship is something obviously that most people seek out, right? If they're going to seek it out, it can be used as a tool in your grief. In our case, mediumship careened into our lives out of the blue. It's a longer, complicated story, and I tell the whole thing, you know, in the book. But to make it short, the bottom line is a woman who claimed to be a medium, a complete stranger that we had never met, that my dad had never met, absolute, complete stranger, ended up getting in contact with my family. This is about maybe a couple of days after we had buried my dad. Called, my mom gets a call saying that there is a medium who my dad is contacting, tapping on the shoulder, desperate to get a message to his family that he's okay.
Wow.
Yeah. As it turned out, it was a woman who was a friend of my second cousin's husband. Very distant. I couldn't even picture this guy's face when my mom told me about this phone call. That's how distant we're talking, you know. As it turned out, this guy, this second cousin's husband, is on the weekends, he has a little hobby of ghost hunting, doing paranormal investigations, investigating this house. Again, completely not connected to my family. When this woman said, I have this guy named Robert here. And he's connected to your family, Chris, somehow, distantly connected to your family. Chris was my cousin. And his family is somehow very connected to a fish restaurant. My sister owns a fish restaurant. So that was how Chris put it together. Oh, this is my like second cousin, I think, that you're talking about. And so that's how it started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's really bizarre. So this person reached out to you, and you're thinking to your sister. So you're thinking of all these strange things. Like, was this person, are they like an ambulance chaser in mediumship? Are they like checking out obituaries online, you know, and they're like, let's see, who can I fish for, you know, and see, we can find this person. Oh, I can call them. So you were a little skeptical. You thought, okay, this is...
Okay. It was odd. But, you know, when you were in... We were in a pit of absolute and utter despair. You know, again, this is like a day or so after the funeral.
Oh,
so
my gosh,
we're still in the throes of this thing. Yeah. And when you're in that state, of course, you'll grasp for anything at all. And when this phone call came in... And my mom, by the way, you know, she's a registered nurse. She's always She's been in the medical field her whole life.
Yeah.
Also a scientifically... oriented person, but open-minded like me. So when the phone call came in, you know, she did not completely scoff at this. She listened and took it all in. And I got the phone number of this woman because I needed to get to the bottom of this whole thing. You know, frankly, my first thought was, is this woman, is she crazy? Does she want money from us? You know, what's going on? And after I spoke to this woman for hours, and she and I are now friends of that conversation, this woman is, to me, I'm not a psychiatrist, but to me, she seems totally sane. And very compassionate.
Yes.
And people ask me, you know, was there ever, there was no money ever. That was never even a question. There was absolutely no money exchanged, ever asked for. She would never, it was absolutely not a thought in her mind.
Yeah.
It was clear to me that she completely believed at least what she was saying. I couldn't tell if it was true, but she believed what she was saying. I could tell. And it was clear to me that she just really believed that she had this disembodied guy who was desperate to get this message to us. And she felt this responsibility to do this. And it was awkward for her and for my cousin Chris, because, again, they didn't know my family's beliefs about this stuff. They didn't know how we would take a phone call like this. And my cousin and I, or my second cousin and I, have, he like started to dial like 10 times. You know, he's like, what am I going to say?
Yeah, exactly.
People? You know, it's by like, the way, I have this, I have this secret hobby, because he was a hospital administrator, this guy. He had like a big time, you know, kind of straight laced job. And he's like, I'm going to tell these people, oh, by the way, on the weekends, I investigate haunted houses and I think your dad is talking to you. You know, he was
right.
It was really hard. It was really hard for them to make this phone call. They did it out of a sense of responsibility because they truly believed it really was my dad. So after that conversation with her, I thought, and then during the conversation, she said, okay, and by, I'm getting a message right now about your dad. And she said a couple of things that I was like, wow, how could she know that? You know, some things that were not published anywhere that gave a bit more weight. Now it started to give more weight to this idea to me. So I told my sister about the conversation, obviously, that I had with a woman, and I had to, but absolutely believes what she's saying. The morning after I told my sister about it, Jen, my sister Jen, was driving to work and on the radio just happened to hear a segment with a woman. It was a 95.7, a radio station here in Connecticut, one of the popular radio stations. A segment with a woman named Angelina Diana, who claims to be a professional evidential medium. And she was giving readings to people, you know, listeners who were calling in. And my sister thought, what are the chances of this, that we'd have this crazy phone call come in? My brother just last night talked to this woman and came away with the impression that she was telling the truth in some form. And now here I am happening to catch this thing on the radio. So she called that woman, Angelina Diana, and set up a reading for her. And that's when the story really kicked off.
Wow, that's for our listeners to find out more about what went on. But by the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. We're talking to Mike Anthony, the author of his latest book. It's called Love Dad. Really a great read. How My Father Died and Then Told Me He Didn't. And a lot of the communication was received through mediumship. You may have seen Mike also on the Netflix documentary special. It's called Surviving Death. It's a really fascinating, I think it's 8 episodes or something like that, but Mike's featured in it, and also his story as well. 6, okay. But thanks. Anyway, just incredible stuff. So, you know, did you ever hear of, I believe her name was Concetta Bertinelli?
Yes.
She's an older medium.
She wrote some very funny books. She's got a great sense of humor. Yeah, do dead people watch a shower?
Yes, exactly. And I had her on my show several years ago. At the time, we weren't doing split screen. She told me about my family, and she didn't know anything about me. She couldn't have gone Googled and, you know, got any history from me. I'm very private, you know, online and everything. So, but I mean, I truly had that experience with her, which knocked my socks off. I mean, it was like, she even knew the name of my favorite dog and what he looked like. So I was just, I was pretty, you know, out of breath when I had this interview with her. She said, let me just talk about you a little bit. So I just want you to know I'm not here to, you know, go against anything you have to say or question or, you know, anything like that. I'm very open to this kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and I think questioning is good and important. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I definitely questioned, but like you, when this experience happened with that medium that came to our house, Angelina, the stuff she was saying, and I was scrutinizing every move this woman was making. Like as soon as she walked in the house, I'm watching her eyes, for instance, to see, is she going to look around the walls to see if we have photographs? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, so what did she tell you? What was the message? What were the messages?
It lasted for an hour and a half, and everything she said was ridiculously accurate. And not only that, it was the type of information that was not published anywhere, you know. And beyond all of that, I had done a personal experiment. Earlier that day, I talked to my father and I said, "Dad, if this is real, I need you to deliver me this, a very specific message." And I was standing completely alone. My dad lived in an isolated back lot in the woods. And I suddenly, as I was standing in his house, was flooded with this memory of when I was a kid, when my parents got divorced. My sister and I spent the weekends with my dad, and we were so excited to see him on Friday nights. We couldn't fall asleep at night, you know? So he would play with our hair to help us fall asleep. And it became a thing. Like, the poor guy, you know, I'd say, "Five more minutes, Dad, come on, just five more minutes." And until his hand was cramping up, he'd play with our hair to help us fall asleep. So I suddenly am flooded with that memory for whatever reason. I said, "Okay, Dad, this is the thing. You have to get this woman to mention my hair. If she doesn't do that, it doesn't matter what else she says, I'm not going to believe it." And my hair is completely average, right? I have short, average brown hair. There's nothing about about it that a stranger would come in and say, "Oh, there's got to be a story about this guy's hair." So anyway, a few hours later, she comes to the house, does the reading, and I'm totally blown away by the level of specificity of what she's saying and things that are not published in an obituary, not published anywhere on social media, to the point of like quoting a conversation, a private conversation that my sister and I had the day before. Things of that nature. So we're all weeping, right? By half an hour into this, we're like weeping fool sitting there. This is the experiment. And now if this woman is a con artist, you know, if you're faking this stuff, and sadly, of course, people do fake it. And that's why mediumship is sort of fraught with a history of this kind of thing. And that's why it's hard to get this into the mainstream, because people hear about the cases in the past that where people have been caught committing fraud. And that's where their investigation ends. They assume that because some people have committed fraud, then everybody is, which is obviously not the case. But anyway, if you are faking it, you know when you've done a good job. You look at these sobbing fools in front of you, and you think, okay, all of these people are going to leave here, tell everybody they know about how amazing I am, and I'm going to get a bunch of work out of this. And you wrap up and you go, right? But this woman instead, as we're telling her that how much she changed our lives and how this was the most extraordinary night we've ever had, we're wrapping up to leave, making small talk now at this point. And she stops in the middle of a sentence and looked apropos of nothing. She was talking about something totally just small talk. Looks at me. There were seven people in the room. She looked only right at me and said, "Your dad wants to talk about your hair?" And she did this with her hand.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow.
And that, it was like,
what?
It was like someone punched me in the stomach. It took my breath away. That's how powerful that moment was. And my sister and my mom are saying, what? Because, you know, I hadn't even told them about this. It was purely between me and my dad. So when something like that happens, it leads you to think, maybe my science professors are not completely aware of the whole story.
Right, exactly. So she was in tune with whatever you want to call it. She was in tune with your dad and in the field and wherever, heaven, whatever you prefer to choose out there.
It seemed to me.
Exactly. And you are right. I mean, there are a lot of charlatans, people who aren't as, you know, they do pick up on cues and they do backstory, you know, like studies, and they find out a lot. And the more that you, I thought John Edward was awesome, but you know, there was a lot of sort of press about him that he was so good at reading. And he was general and that kind of thing. So the fact that this woman was so specific this information just blew you away. Yeah.
Totally blew me away. Right. And then I thought, well, if I'm finding this to be genuine, it can't be that I'm the first person to stumble upon this who's got a scientifically oriented brain. Someone must have looked further into this, right? I was surprised to find out that not only have they looked into it, some of the best minds to ever walk the planet have looked into it. It's been investigated for over 100 years now. People who have won the Nobel Prize, for instance, the Nobel Prize. So these people are not loony yes. people, yes. you know. You can't yes. say that they were so brilliant that they won a Nobel Prize in one thing, but then in this other thing, they were somehow tricked. That doesn't make logical sense. There's a guy, for instance, named William James that I write right. about in the book, widely considered, as you know, to be the father of psychology in America. Right. He founded the psychology department at Harvard,
yes.
no less.
Yes.
He studied a woman named Lenora Piper, who right. was a young woman in New Hampshire, a medium, studied her. By saying that, I mean he rigorously tested her for 20 years, two decades of research. And this brilliant guy, after all of that time, came away absolutely 100% convinced, wow. unequivocally convinced yes. that yes. she was doing something, quote unquote, paranormal.
Right,
of course,
right,
exactly. he couldn't conclude exactly that she's talking to dead people, but right. she is somehow getting information in a way
yes.
that our current understanding of science does not allow for.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That sort of thing is out there. And now, today, at the University of Virginia, the University of Arizona, John Edward, by the way, was tested at the University of Arizona.
Right, he was.
And there's current research happening right now by a fantastic scientist named Dr. Julie Beischel at the Winbridge Research Center.
Yes.
And in those studies, she's doing a quintuple blind study. The
wow.
level of I write about it in my book. It sounds complicated, but it basically right. means they have ruled out yes. that a medium could be cold reading or cheating
right.
in any kind of way.
Right, exactly.
The medium never even sees
right.
the sitter. They're never
random
even
subjects.
Same.
Yes.
They're never even in the same room with the person. Someone mm. sits in as a proxy over the phone.
Yes.
And they never have any cues
right.
of any kind.
Yes,
and
yes.
The statistics are clear.
Wow.
Dr. Beischel says that it's clear something that she calls it anomalous information reception
right. wow.
definitely absolutely happens. The same
right.
math, the
right.
same math that helps us build skyscrapers, that, yeah. that helps us create this amazing architecture, that has helped us land a rover on Mars,
right.
the same math that has done that clearly
right.
shows
right.
that
right.
some people are able to get information in a way we don't understand.
Wow. What a great answer. Guys, in case you just tuned in, my guest today, Mike Anthony, the author of Love Dad. This is a great book. This is a fast read too, because you don't want to put it down because the story just keeps happening. How My Father Died and Then Told Me He Didn't. Right. And you might have seen Mike also featured on the Netflix series. It is a great documentary called Surviving Death. Really great segment about mediumship, and it offers speculation, but some of the work that your medium does in there kind of blows you away. If you want to watch that, it's a great series, folks. I wanted to ask you what you think also, and you touched a little bit on this in your book. Do you think that some of these mediums are just psychic people who are reading you? You know, even
yeah.
if they're not even seeing you, that kind of thing. I mean, this is the problem I've always had. And I say that because I had when I was working for ABC in San Francisco for a number of years, I had similar talk shows. So I used to have a lot of interesting people come on, and I had these regular psychics who worked with the Oakland or East Bay police by finding missing persons. Mm-hmm. So they were pretty legit in that they would hold objects of people who were missing, and they, you know, this is the last ditch resort for the police
right.
and detectives. Right. So, these women used to come up together. They'd work as a team or individually, but they come up with times they found the missing person. Unfortunately, they had, it was a homicide or whatever, but at least they were put to use and they were effective. These women did a similar, reading on me, and to make a long story short, what I think saved my life by interfering with something that was going on behind the scenes. And it was,
wow.
it's a weird story. I'll write about it someday, but they truly were psychic. They never talked about communicating with someone on the other side. They just knew what was going on with me. And they also knew some stuff about my family, a little bit about that, but they weren't communicating. So to make a long story short, what do you think that is about, the difference between being psychic and a medium?
Yeah, that's an important question. And I don't know that we can ever have a 100% satisfactory answer to this. Does paranormal activity happen? Do things
right.
happen that science cannot understand? Most of the world is still stuck on that question of, does it happen at all? clearly, to me, it definitely happened.
Oh, yeah.
And the people who have accepted that it does happen, the question now is this evidence of survival of consciousness beyond death, or is it simply evidence of a human ability, living ability that we don't understand? Is it just telepathy, ESP, mind reading, right? Now, of course, I say, is it just that? But that alone completely would shatter the mainstream paradigm, right? If telepathy were accepted as a real thing, that would completely upend our science, that alone. Yeah. So, there's something people in the field, there's something that is labeled super psi, which basically means that psychic ability, we don't have any way to answer this, it could be limitless, right? If we're getting information from, let's call it the quantum field, right? For lack of a better word. And again, when we use words like quantum and field, we don't really truly know what any of that actually ultimately means, right? We know what it means. We know what the mathematical formulations are, but we don't truly know what is actually going on, right? If it turns out that string theory is real and, and vibrating strings of energy are the absolute basis of matter, what's making the string vibrate? We have no clue. So, but if it turns out to be the quantum field, if that's a word we want to use, that people are getting this information of, it's from. I mean, it's possible that any medium is pulling that out of the field rather than hearing it from my dead father. But if we talk to mediums about this, there are people who call themselves both mediums and psychics. They do both things. Angelina Diana, the one that I work with, she does both.
Yes.
It, experientially, and they're looking also into this at the Winbridge Research Center. Dr. Beischel is also looking into this.
Oh, good.
Experientially and qualitatively to the mediums, the people who this is happening to, they experience it as distinct occurrences. To them, it's very incredibly, it's never a question. Angelina always knows when something is coming from spirit or if she's getting it from the person sitting in front of her.
Oh, okay.
It's a completely distinct, Laura Lynn Jackson, who is featured in the thing. Same with her. When it's a spirit, she knows very clearly. And in fact, Angelina has to go into a different mode when she wants to do a psychic, sometimes in the middle of a meeting where she's hearing from spirit, she'll come more back into the room, because when she's hearing from spirit, she describes it as sort of daydreaming, and she's not really fully in the space with us. She's really listening. When she wants to tune in psychically to someone, she has to center herself and ground herself more, and now tune in to the person in front of her. And it's, for her, it's a completely different experience. So if we're just listening to the people who have this ability, and I do believe now 100% it is an ability that some people have, if we listen to the people who do have it, they experience it as something totally different. There are also other things that, to me, make it less likely that it is purely ESP as opposed to independent spirits. Displaying an agency of their own. Sometimes you'll get what's called drop-in communicators.
Right.
So someone will be having a reading, and then this complete stranger. This complete stranger spirit drops in, and that's verified to be accurate. And that spirit is saying, "Hey, you gotta call my cousin Bobby. You gotta get this message to him." And then, sure enough, this person who doesn't know Bobby, the spirit gives enough information to find that person. They find him, and all of the information makes sense. It's hard to understand why, if it's purely psychic, why would the medium or the psychic out of the quantum field suddenly latch onto that kind of random thing? So it seems to me, there's a lot of evidence that seems to point to independent agency being displayed by actual disembodied energies, energies living without a physical body.
And there are these individuals who can, whatever, tune in or get their frequency, into allowing that, whatever that is, coming into the situation, whether it be I'm reading you directly or I'm tuned into whatever's in, if you want to call it the field, the source, whatever is out there. So, which is no time, no thing, no one, no body, it all is one. And so I guess they say you can tune into that one and see what's going on. And that one, your dad contacted this woman apparently and said, Hello, I'm just trying to find that frequency that I can, you know, go into and share with this family to let them know.
Yeah.
So what did your dad say to you guys specifically through the medium? What were some of his messages?
I mean, the main message is a generic one that can't be counted as evidence, but of course it's meaningful to us, was that he was okay. Because of the way that he passed, the very fast nature, we could not let go. I especially could not let go of what his last moments were like. Mm. I worried incessantly
that
felt some kind of a pain and he got afraid and like couldn't make it to the phone, and that he spent his last minute or moment in where he was found on the floor for hours trying to picture how he got into that position.
Yes, you know?
Every medium that we went to, everyone said, listen, your dad went like this. He needs you to know he felt no pain whatsoever. There was absolutely no pain. It was like he closed his eyes on this side, and when he opened them again, he was on the other side with no pain at all.
Oh, that's good.
And I talk in the book about the patterns that showed up that are very hard to explain away. Unless all mediums are getting together and saying, hey, okay, I had this client named Mike. If he happens to come to you, and I'm seeing mediums in Connecticut, in Long Island, all over the place, they'd have to be getting together and saying, hey, if this guy comes to your office, make sure you say this, 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 and this.
Right.
Because every single one mentioned the speed with which he passed and that he was in no pain, among other things that they mentioned that formed these patterns, that there, it was just impossible to explain away.
Wow, that's amazing. What did your father pass of?
We don't know scientifically speaking, because we didn't do an autopsy. If we're to believe the mediums, which at this point I'm inclined to do, they said that he felt a bit of a dizziness and then sort of passed out. You know, he got a little bit dizzy and then sort of passed out, and that was that. And the way that we found him, this actually makes sense, because he actually looked like he inexplicably laid down sort of in the middle of the floor. His knees were bent up and his hand was behind his head.
Almost
like he had laid down in the floor.
Right.
So it looked like he had maybe felt a little dizzy, kneeled like in a squatting position, and then just kind of laid down.
Okay.
So it makes sense what the mediums say, that he felt maybe – so maybe like an aneurysm or something
perhaps,
that caused a bit of dizziness, and then a very quick, painless passing. Yeah.
I'm so sorry about that, sweetheart. And but your family, because of your writing and because of their experiences, your family – has come to peace in their hearts, pretty much, right? They're all relaxed about it. He's okay. He's doing okay.
Yes, 100%. I mean, and that's the real reason that I wrote the book, because the level of it was a night and day difference. You know, before all of this stuff happened, I was having a full-on existential crisis, thinking if someone as amazing as my father could simply disappear like he'd never existed, then what's the point of doing anything at all? And after this happened, I am now so 100% sure that my dad is still with me in some form. I'm actually happier in my life than I have ever been before. It's added this levity to my life. Because when you're not constantly worried about like the end of the journey thing that you can focus on and enjoy. And that's the gift that my dad has given us.
And that is the gift that so many spiritual leaders who are highly respected and scientists who, you know, go into the consciousness of contacting the source and becoming one and all that, you know, that's, they're all sharing that with us, is you just have to know it and you can get there and actually communicate with those. If you like, sometimes. Do you have a practice where you go somewhere and chat with your dad or others who've passed in your life?
Yeah, I'm not. Every Monday now, my family and I have a sitting where that's the exact intention, and I write about this in the book. Have a weekly meeting with our deceased loved ones.
Awesome.
We sit with an amazing medium, a guy named Stuart Alexander, who I write in the book, mediumship, which is what we've been talking about, in physical mediumship. That's what will really change your life and leave no doubt. The last chapter of the book, I write in detail about what happened. I usually don't talk about it in interviews all that much because it's better if you sort of build up to it reading the book.
Yes, exactly.
It's so far beyond what the average person is going to think of as possible. But
So I can't give any spoiler alerts right now. Huh?
I mean, you can. I just worry that people are going to think, oh, man, this guy's just a nutball.
No. Are you kidding? They're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle. They don't think anybody's a nutball on my show.
So. Oh, good. Well, I'll just say that in physical mediumship, what happens is physical, as the name implies. So something happens in the room that is not it's black or white. It either happens or it doesn't. Everyone in the room hears or sees or feels the thing, or has all three of those things happen. One experience while sitting beside a journalist for the New York Times. And I mentioned that because she's written about this herself, and a person who was a journalist for the Times has to be really careful about what they publish, you know, because the Times doesn't take chances with people they think might be unstable mentally. So you can be sure that what I write about there and what this woman, Leslie Kane, has written about, I promise from my heart, it is absolutely the truth. It happened. Well, and because it happened, and this physical thing that I saw happen, I now know that no matter how many Nobel Prizes are sitting on a scientist's shelf, if they tell you that certain paranormal things are impossible, I personally know they are not right about that. I know they're wrong about that.
Right. Well, if anybody's read Autobiography of a Yogi, you know, about Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, how he shares about just, you know, that and also the blur between 3D and 5D, you know, and sort of come in and out of existence sometimes, and things can do that, moving mountains and all, you know.
Right.
That's science beyond our knowledge. It's woo-woo stuff. It's true.
It's true, and it happens, and there are things that happen that are incredibly profound that we're never going to be able to bring into a lab, right?
Yes,
there simply are things that science is just not good for, but it does not take away the validity of them. Just because a scientist can't bring it into a lab and test it does not mean it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, no, it's so true. Yeah. I agree. Just to share a little transparency here, too, when I had those two, you know, psychic women that were working with the police department in the East Bay of San Francisco, they come on by my place. We became friends, just like you and your medium friend have, you know, are gotten close and everything. And we'd be just talking, and they'd be going into, you know, just tuning into something. We used to do a lot of consciousness with group and find out how the city's doing and how people are doing. Mm-hmm. And lowering crime and all of those things, you know, studies on that kind of thing where they can use their, and what used to happen during, you know, the meetings in my place, we'd be sitting around. I mean, constantly there was things falling off the walls. Mm-hmm. Things were flying across the room. I mean, they call them poltergeists or whatever, and I don't want to sound weird or people to go, oh God, she's gone over the edge. But there were literally, energies that these women were creating, especially both of them together in the room, that was just, I'd be sitting there and they go, oh, it's okay, it's just the energy is out. And I'd be like, I mean, picture falling off the wall, and it's kind of like, was that a sign? Does that mean we should be quiet and relax? It's just the energy.
Well,
bizarre.
And in the most advanced forms of physical mediumship, and that's on the same spectrum of what you're talking about, in the most advanced forms of it, as insane as this is going to sound to some people, again, this has been tested for 100 years. Spirit beings, people who call themselves anyway, beings are able to physically materialize in the room. You walk into a room with five people, and for a period of time, you're in that room with six people, and you can see it happen with your eyes. And this is something that I saw happen. And again, I tell the story in detail in the book, but there is a substance that physical mediums sometimes have that the quote unquote spirit world, and I only use quote unquote because I can't say for sure, is this a mental ability, a human ability we haven't figured out yet, or is it actually something separate from the human brain? That I can't say for sure.
Right.
I can just tell you that things can happen in a room to the point that you can have your physical loved one standing there in that room, talking out of their own mouth with their own words.
Right.
As crazy as that sounds.
No, I
have a picture in that book, and I only included it because I ended up meeting the family of the person who took it, and I have zero doubt that it is genuine. And it is of a fully materialized spirit person.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a real person. That's a person.
Right.
Who is not alive anymore. Who died, who's standing for a precious small time in that room. And that's what you see in that photograph.
Right,
a short time
after
that photograph was taken, that one more, and disappeared.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's difficult for them to come through. I wonder if it's a different frequency and a painful situation for them.
Yeah, the way it's described by them, and of course, so again, we're getting away from science, but this is what they say, and I'm happy to do that. This is what they say, that everything in the universe is vibration, right? And vibration is a word that we throw around a lot. It's hard to actually conceptualize really exactly what that means. But according to them, we live in a vibration that is very dense, relatively speaking, and slow. Our vibrations are slow, and that causes a density.
Right.
Their vibrations are much faster. And so in order for the two worlds to meet, often we have to try to raise our vibration, which means simply sitting together in with the intention of feeling love and harmony for each other, thinking all the good positive type of focusing on the good stuff that raises the vibration, so to speak. And they also simultaneously have to try to slow their vibrations and meet in the middle. So they say it is a difficult process for them to do this. And they describe it as very strange when they use this stuff. It's called ectoplasm, that which I thought was a fake word.
We thought that came from Ghostbusters.
Right? I was sure that's where that came from. Nope. It actually comes from a guy named Charles Roche, who won the Nobel Prize in physiology. Okay, so again, we're not talking about like mad scientists working out of basements. This guy won the Nobel Prize in physiology.
He
looked at this stuff under a microscope. Anyway,
That's really true.
They say it's very weird, the feeling when they dip their etheric hand or whatever you want to call it into this stuff and materialize for a short time in the room. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? We're just about out of time already, but I wanted to thank you again so much for coming on the show. It's just a delight talking to you, and I loved reading your book. Love Dad. It's all about Dad, and Dad's still here with him and us, right?
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. I want to thank you for having me, and I also want to thank you for doing what you do, because you're chipping away at that wall that's between greater truth and the average human being walking around. You're there with the pickaxe chipping away at this.
Thanks
for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. It's just for some reason I have to, just like you had to reveal this information and you continue to seek. I too have been tapped on the shoulder and said, come on, let's go a little further. Let's go a little further. And you got to answer the call, right?
Indeed.
All right. Mike, many blessings to you. And I look forward to reading your next book as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on the couch.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's it. Thanks for listening. And next week, I have another fabulous author coming on, and we're going to be talking more about sort of making a higher place for yourself, tuning in, how to meditate the right way, how to feel better and more calm, managing your anxiety and depression through certain techniques. All right, this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great with others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening. Bye.
On the couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.